Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Craftsman Days are here at Lowe's with big savings on the tools you need. Save $100 on the Craftsman V26 Tool Power Tool Combo Kit, now at $199. No matter what the project is, Craftsman's high-quality, high-performance products empower you to build on. Visit Lowe's and check out the full line of Craftsman tools today. Valid through 7/9 while supplies last. Selection varies by location. Maximum initial battery voltage measured without a workload is 20 volts. Nominal voltage is 18.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
You're listening to live courtroom coverage of the trial of Karen Reed from the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today. Now, back to the courtroom.
Mr. Weffin, I have a couple questions about your analysis and your opinions.
Yes.
You showed us a tab that was opened at 2:27:40, and it had something to do with Hawkmoth Sports?
Yes.
In your opinion, to a reasonable degree of scientific certainty, was that the same tab, that 2:27:40 tab open for Hockamock Sports, was that the same tab that later was used for searches or attempted searches at 6:23:51 and at 6:24 relative to how long or how's long to die in cold?
I believe it was, yes.
Does your opinion, is it based on your analysis of reports generated by software like Cellebrite?
Objection, Your Honor.
Sustained as to form.
Was your opinion limited to analysis of reports generated by companies like Cellebrite or Axiom?
It wasn't, no. I went into the data, looked at the various different databases, different files that were in use, tested it across many different devices to make sure that my understanding and analysis of it was correct.
In addition to your opinion that the two searches at 6:23 and 6:24 occurred at that time, as opposed to 2:27:40, did you also, when analyzing the data, come to an opinion whether or not either of those searches actually connected and produced results?
If either of those searches had connected, the information would have been written into the history database. The fact that it wasn't in the history database strongly suggests it never completely loaded. And the fact that there is no title information on the browser state tab as well also suggests it never loaded.
And finally, those attempted searches at 6:23, 6:24, you mentioned that information at some point was deleted from the phone?
The only records that were deleted were the browser state database records. Yeah, they were deleted from the device.
Do you have an opinion to a reasonable degree of scientific certainty whether or not that information was removed as a natural application of the phone, or was it because somebody took the phone and actually deleted it by hand?
So again, I don't believe it's possible, given the situation and the information that's available, that it would have been possible for the user to delete it. I believe it was more than likely a system event that caused that, but I've not been able to replicate that system event.
I want to take you back to your first opinion, where you opine that the how's long to die in the search occurred at 6:23 and 6:24, not at 2:27:40.
Yes.
And so, in looking at the data coming to that opinion, what caused the confusion with the software where it could be misunderstood the time those searches were actually made?
Objection, Your Honor.
I'm going to allow it.
the way that forensic software typically works, certainly the way that physical analyzer works, is we design models for the data. So we know that an SMS application, for example, will always have a message body. It will always have a sender, a receiver, a time, that kind of thing. We always know that a web visit will have a URL, a title, and a visited timestamp. In this particular case, in the database, the timestamp is called last visited timestamp, which is indicative, you would think, of the time that the web page was visited. So when that information was being modeled within the software, the timestamp that was within the database was used, and it was called last visited timestamp. Since the investigation that I did into this case, I requested that the forensic research team at Cellbrite revisit this data and confirm if there's confusion around it. Were my findings correct ultimately? There are times that that information can be correct. If, for example, you create a brand new tab, visit a website, and then close the tab immediately, then that timestamp would be indicative of the time that the URL was visited. But if you were to create a tab, use it for 3 hours, and then close it, the timestamp would not be indicative. Also, if you were to bring an old tab into focus that you'd used several days earlier and then close that tab, again, you're going to get bad timestamp information. So ultimately, from Cellbrite's point of view, we removed the timestamp from that data to avoid confusion in the future.
You shared with us that the URL for the 623 and 624 attempted searches ultimately was removed from the device.
Yes.
Would it be fair or accurate to say there were over 4,000 deleted files from the phone, or there was 4,000 deletions from the phone?
There were many.
Sustained.
Okay.
As to form.
Would it be accurate to say that the only deletion from that phone was that 623, 624 search?
No, there were thousands of records deleted, ultimately, for various reasons that I can follow.
That would be an inaccurate assertion?
To say that that's the only record that was deleted is inaccurate, yes.
Okay. Thank you. I'm now going to turn to a second phone that you looked at.
Great.
You told us that you looked at two phones. The second one was a phone that was, or is attributed to John O'Keefe?
Correct.
When you looked at the phone for John O'Keefe, were you looking at things different than we looked at on the phone attributed to Jen McCabe?
I was. I wasn't as interested in internet data. I was more interested in location and health and anything else that could be useful.
Before we show any presentation, I want to get a little understanding of what you looked for and what you found. Were you looking for what's called location data?
I was, yes.
Was there a period of time that was important that you were looking for relative to location data?
Typically after midnight and before 6 a.m.
Is that on January 29, 2022?
It is, yes, sorry.
How does a phone, like an iPhone, store location data?
Multiple ways that it can be stored. Primarily, there's a database called cache.sqlite. And every time an application requests location data from the device, a feature called location services on iOS tries to calculate the device's location using a combination of technologies, GPS, Wi-Fi, cell tower, and Bluetooth. Calculates the device's location and stores that into the database as a latitude, longitude, altitude, timestamp, accuracy, radius, information like that.
Are there different types of location data that are captured and stored on a device like an iPhone?
Can you define different types, please?
I'm sorry?
If you could define what you mean by different types.
The different sources of data that are generated that then captured on an iPhone.
So the application can specify how accurate it wants the data to be. So for example, if you're using a navigational application, you'd want high accuracy data. So the application would request high accuracy data from location services. Location services would then try to use GPS primarily to get location information. Versus if you were using a weather app, for example, where you don't really need to know precise information, you just need to know the approximate town maybe that the user's at. So a weather application would ask for low accuracy information, and the device may be able to calculate the location based on cell tower information, for example. Both can be stored in the database with the accuracy information that's available.
Would a application that is devoted to navigation in your programming experience typically have stronger data, location data information than a more general application like a weather app?
Yes, for sure. And Apple actually specify in their documentation, when they specify the various different accuracy levels, they have one for navigational purposes, for map applications.
How do you define accuracy level from the different data that's being stored in a phone?
How do you mean, sorry?
Is there high level, middle, low?
Yes, the information is typically provided with a range of meters. So you'll have a latitude, longitude coordinate and a number of meters that you have to draw around that locational point. And the device is somewhere within that circle. It could be as accurate as 2 or 5 meters. It could be as inaccurate as several miles, depending on the technology that was used to get the data.
Are you familiar with an application called Waze?
I am, yes.
Tell us what Waze is.
Waze is a navigational tool. So you can plot a route and it will try to direct you the best way, avoiding toll roads, avoiding accidents, that kind of thing.
What is the level of accuracy in location information that is generated by using Waze?
That would be the highest level of accuracy. So it would aim to get GPS quality information of around 5 meter accurate.
So why doesn't a programmer in every application just use the highest level location data for every application?
Getting GPS data is not always possible. If you're in a building, in a basement, for example, you may not get that. But also, it can be expensive to the device in terms of processing power, in terms of battery requirements. So if it can find location information cheaper by using Wi-Fi networks, for example, then it would prefer to do that. So just a lot less resource intensive than using GPS all the time.
In order to capture the highest level of location data, the most accurate in an application such as Waze, if somebody's using Waze and then turns it off, does it still continue to capture that highest level of accuracy?
Typically not. It may do for a short time as it's still kind of working through a backlog. But fundamentally, if there's no application open that's trying to use location services, then the location information that's being requested and recorded is far more sporadic. It's typically background applications that may be requiring location data.
When you analyze John O'Keefe's phone, in addition to the location data, did you also look into data known as health care data?
I did, yes.
And could you tell the jury how that works?
So pretty much all iPhones for the last 10 years or so have Apple Health included. It monitors activity on the device, such as steps taken using various sensors inside the device, looking for motion which appears to be walking. It monitors altitude, so it knows whether you've gone up a flight of stairs, for example. It uses that information in concert with the steps taken, so it knows the difference between going in an elevator versus walking up a flight of stairs. And all that kind of information is available to you as a user to essentially see how far you walked each day and to monitor your own health.
When you look at healthcare data, you said it interprets it in different terms. One you used was steps. If I have an iPhone and I'm walking and it registers steps, can it tell what direction I went in?
No, it's purely just looking for motion of the gyroscopes, which appears to match the pattern that it expects of somebody who's walking. It doesn't know whether you're in a straight line, walking in zigzag circles, just number of steps.
What if I had my iPhone and I was moving the iPhone, but my feet weren't moving? Would it register?
It could register some, but typically it's relatively good at picking the difference between actually walking or throwing the phone around or shaking it.
The healthcare data, does it store with date and time?
There's two locations that health data is stored. Primarily a database called HealthDB underscore secure. And that aggregates the information into periods of time. So you may have a 10-minute period where it says 100 steps were taken. Now, it could be that the 100 steps were taken in the first 2 minutes, and then virtually nothing was done for 8 minutes there. But there's another database called Cache Encrypted C, which is more granular. It's where the information is written originally prior to it being aggregated and moved into the bigger health database.
You also mentioned that the healthcare data has a term known as steps.
Yeah.
If the movement registers as steps, would that necessarily mean that a person was walking up or down steps?
Sorry, are we talking about steps taken or flights climbed?
I'm sorry, flights climbed.
A flight climbed, according to Apple, is essentially an incline of 3 meters over 16 steps taken. So it wouldn't really matter whether it was walking up a flight of stairs, walking up a steep inclined hill on an escalator, something like that. If there is movement that appears to be walking and an incline of 3 meters, then that would be considered a flight climb event.
Is there any other ways that the phone could register flights climbed, but the person's not actually walking up or down stairs?
So I did test this a few months ago, driving in my vehicle. I was able to, if I just put a phone on my dock as I'm driving around, nothing was recorded. But I found that if I was actually holding the phone while driving at the same time, then the natural suspension of the vehicle plus the movement of my arm would be considered enough to be steps. And if that motion happened while I was driving up a hill, it would also result in a flight climb event. And the testing that I did consistently resulted in, I think it was 9 flights of stairs climbed while I was driving up the same hill multiple times.
In your studies, what elevation change would have to be present if you were in a car with a phone and it would register healthcare data as steps? Is there a certain level of elevation that would trigger that?
Again, it's just a 3 meter incline is required.
Did you say 3 meter?
3 meter.
The healthcare data, in addition to being able to give a range of time of movement and defining generally terms, whether it's steps or stairs, is there any other information about healthcare data that is important in your analysis of this case?
Sorry, can you just repeat that, please? I'm
sure.
Just trying to think.
The healthcare data you shared tells us there's movement.
Yes.
And it may come in the term steps. You also shared that the healthcare data can show elevation. That can come in the term flights.
Yes.
Is there any other information about the healthcare data you looked at? Did you look at it across a wide range in this case?
No, it was just the steps and the flight climb that I was interested in.
What is the time period you looked at the healthcare data for in this case?
Between midnight and 6 a.m. or 6:30 a.m.
That's midnight on January 29, 2022, till about 6 a.m.?
Yes.
Okay. And before we get to any presentations, did you see movement on that phone relative to healthcare data at different points through the night?
I did, yes.
And did you identify those different times in your report?
I did.
You created a PowerPoint for Mr. O'Keefe's phone. Are those time points and movements, are they indicated in the PowerPoint as well?
They are, yes.
So you had, with Mr. O'Keefe's phone, you looked at location data, you looked at healthcare data. Is there any other data you found important in your analysis to try to track the movements or non-movements of the phone of John O'Keefe on January 29, 2022?
Yes, I've also looked at battery temperature information and at a feature called Doppler, which is monitoring for Face ID.
Tell us a little bit about the battery temperature. Is it the battery temperature of the phone or part of the phone?
There's a battery temperature sensor built inside the phone within the battery, and it's essentially always checking for battery overheats or battery cool downs to the point where performance will be affected and the device needs to power off to save itself being damaged. So that temperature information isn't recording ambient temperature. It's not interested in the temperature in the room, for example. It's purely interested in the battery temperature. But it is affected by ambient temperature. And I, again, did lots of testing by putting the phone into controlled temperature environments, so inside a freezer for a set amount of time, to monitor how the battery temperature would decrease over time, given the environment it was in. Bringing it back into a warm environment and testing how long it takes to increase. Putting the device outside. I live in Calgary, where it's pretty cold in winter. So putting it outside, it was like 40 Fahrenheit, I think it calculates to. And the temperature of the environment had a big impact on the battery temperature that was recorded by the device.
Were you able to track the changes in battery temperature for Mr. O'Keefe's cell phone over the course of the evening from after 12 on January 29, 2022 through after 7, 8 in the morning?
Yes, there wasn't a massive number of records, but there were records that I've included in my report.
In addition to those three areas, when a person uses an iPhone and presses the buttons, or they hold it and they try to open it by recognizing their face, what is that process called?
The Face ID would be the process for the unlocking, and then the locking, pressing the button on the side would lock the device.
When an iPhone is being used, does it act or operate differently when it's out in the open or if it's in your pocket or under something?
Yes, so this is the Doppler function that I found within a feature called Unified Logs. Essentially, whenever the device receives a phone call or when you pick up the device, an iPhone X or above is trying to find a face to use to unlock the device. If the camera is blocked, a record is made to say that it's within a pocket state. So if my phone's in my pocket, when somebody calls me, it tries to look for a face, it immediately recognizes that the camera's blocked and it records pocket state. As soon as I take the phone out of my pocket or unblock the camera, it records a pocket state cleared event. So we know when the camera was covered up versus when it was uncovered, if at the time it was receiving a phone call or was being picked up.
Does an iPhone always record whether or not the camera was blocked or hidden or covered at the time a call comes in?
No. For example, if the device is already unlocked, then it won't make a recording to say that it was within a pocket state or a pocket state cleared. And if the device isn't blocked at all, so if I have the device on a desk in front of me, for example, and a call comes in, there'll be no record that says that it's in a pocket state or a pocket state cleared. It will only record a pocket state event if the camera's blocked, and it will only record a pocket state cleared event if the camera was blocked and now isn't.
So if I have my iPhone and I put it inside my jacket in the darkness and I get 30 calls, would all of those calls result in a reading of pocket state?
They'd all result in multiple readings of pocket state. The pocket state check is conducted more than once a second. I can't remember the exact number, but it's very frequent. And an average phone call from the start of the ring to when the device essentially hangs up, somewhere in the region of 500 checks. So if you had 10 phone calls, then you'll have 5,000 checks made that would all report pocket state.
Did you analyze John O'Keefe's phone on the evening early morning hours through the next morning on January 29, 2022 in an attempt to identify where he was, what he was doing, and whether his phone was inside or outside?
That was my goal, yes.
And did you engage in that analysis, sir?
I did.
And in your efforts, did you write a report?
I did.
Did you write multiple reports on these separate issues?
I did.
And those reports are provided to everybody?
Yes.
In addition to the reports that you generated from your study, did you present or did you prepare a PowerPoint?
I did.
Does the PowerPoint outline some of those points?
It does.
At the end of the PowerPoint, do you go through a timeline accumulating many of these pieces of evidence together that show them in a chronological sequence?
I do.
And does that help capture the movement or non-movement of John O'Keefe's phone through that night?
I believe it does.
All right, may I approach?
Yes.
I'm showing you a binder, sir. Could you look at it? Let me know if you recognize it.
Yes, this is the presentation that I created regarding John's phone.
And does it include all the some of the subject areas we just spoke about?
It does.
I'd move to introduce this as an exhibit, please.
No objection, Your Honor.
Thank you.
Thank you. With the court's permission, Mr. Whiffen, referring to Exhibit 39, I'd like you to walk us through John O'Keefe's phone on the evening of January 29th, 2022.
Yes.
Thank you. So I start the presentation with location data. As I mentioned earlier, this comes from the cache.sqlite database, which is considered the most reliable location or the most reliable file for location data on an iOS device. Stores information whenever location information is requested. That could be through user interaction with the device using something like Waze. It could be background activity, just depending on what applications the user has opened, what settings the user has chosen. It's constantly trying to find its location and recording it in this database, partly for the purposes of identifying frequent locations. At 12 minutes and 5 seconds after midnight, the device shows multiple location points at Washington Street around Forge Pond. What I've tried to show here, there's a kind of a gold dot in the middle, which would show the actual latitude, longitude information. And then the circle around it is what's considered the accuracy radius. The smaller the accuracy radius, obviously the more accurate the information is believed to be according to the device. But ultimately, if the device is anywhere within that circle, then iOS would consider it correct. It considers it an accurate record.
Mr. Whiffen, why are there multiple circles of location data for one point where Mr. O'Keefe's cell phone was?
So this wasn't a single point in time. This was multiple records at around 12 minutes and 5 seconds. No application was actually in use at this time requesting location information, but the device, for whatever reason, recorded multiple records with various degrees of accuracy. Typically, you would see accuracy start quite low and get better over time, which you may have seen on your own device when you open up the map application, and it may show your device, you know, close to where you are, but not perfectly where you are, and then wait a few seconds, and that information gets refined. Essentially, this is the same thing.
So low accuracy would be a wider circle and higher accuracy would be a smaller circle?
Correct.
At this point, Mr. O'Keefe is not utilizing Waze on his phone?
Correct.
But location data is still being stored randomly on the phone from multiple different sources?
It is, yeah. Depends on the device itself.
In the top left-hand corner, it says 12:05. That's the time that this snapshot?
Yes.
Okay.
And in this case, approximate.
And below it's obviously the date?
Yes.
Okay, could you take us ahead, please?
Okay. There were multiple records between that last time and what's shown on screen now at 19 minutes and 33 seconds, but all of the records were sporadic and low accuracy with values of 1,000 meters or more. But around this time, around 19 minutes and 33 seconds after midnight, is when Waze was actually brought on screen. Waze starts to ask for high accuracy data, so we see the accuracy immediately start to improve. So again, we see relatively low accuracy data to begin, and then over the next few seconds, it begins to refine itself until it gets down to a 5 meter accuracy records as the device continues up here. We'll highlight that there's a cluster of records here as the device came to either a slow or a stop momentarily. Multiple records were created, and then the device continued driving up Denham Street.
Mr. Whiffen, below the time, 12:19:33, in the date, talks about the average accuracy.
Yes.
And that's in meters?
That's in meters. So again, the records are shown at the bottom here are around 55 meters. The records shown at the top are around 5 meters.
Is it typical in Waze that once it locks in, the range is around 5 meters?
Typical, yes. That would be the goal.
You also mentioned the average speed. Where do you learn the speed from? Where does that data come from?
The database, the cache SQLite database also calculates the average speed between two data points, and also the bearing or the direction of travel between those two points. So the average speed that's shown here on the left is approximately the average of all of the records that are shown on this map at the time. And each of these map points has a directional arrow that points in the direction that the database recorded the device was traveling in.
When you look at this information generated because of the usage of Waze, and you can see both the accuracy and the speed, with the Waze information at its most accurate, can you actually tell whether the vehicle is moving or whether it stops?
Yes, based on the speed and the location and the timestamps, you can determine whether the device is moving or stopped.
Okay, thank you.
Also important to, I think, point out here, in terms of knowing how reliable this location information is, I typically look at something along the lines of, does the location think it's accurate? In this case, 5 meters, so yes. Does it make sense? Like, it's on the road, it's on the correct side of the road. So again, it kind of makes sense. It fits the pattern of the road. The cadence and the speed are, you know, what you would expect for this road. Like, traveling at 20 to 30 miles an hour up here seems quite reasonable. So all of these factors taken together increase my confidence that this would be reliable location data. Moving to the next slide, between 20 minutes and 19 seconds and 21 minutes and 58 seconds after midnight, the device starts on the left side, on the right side at Denham Street. Drives up and turns left onto Maplecroft Road. Again, we see that all of these location points match the pattern of the road layout. They all have a consistent cadence, a consistent speed, traveling at between 10 and 20 miles an hour. And we see a cluster of records here, which is around a stop sign. So again, it indicates how reliable the data is, because the location, or the location data that's recorded, recognize the vehicle slow, come to a stop, and then continue after the stop sign.
Is Maplecroft Road in Canton?
Yes. Okay. At the end of Maplecroft Road, the device turned left onto Oakdale Road and continued heading down there. Between the hours of 21 minutes and 59 seconds and 22 minutes and 53 seconds, the device continues down Oakdale Road. Again, all of these location points show with 5 meter accuracy. They show a consistent cadence, consistent pattern to the road. And again, we see a cluster where we see the device come to a slow or a stop for a stop sign. The device ultimately turns right onto Cedarcrest Avenue, I believe. And continue down there between 22 minutes and 54 seconds and 23 minutes and 57 seconds. Again, as I've said before, all of these points, 5 meter accurate, they all conform to the road. The cadence is good. And again, we see a cluster on approach to a stop sign. The device shows that it overshot Fairview Road and continued turning up Cedar Crest, but came to a stop somewhere between 50 and 51. And at 23 minutes and 58 seconds, the device appears to have turned around, so potentially a three-point turn, in order to head back down Cedar Crest Road and turn right onto Fairview Road. Again, accuracy 5 meters, good cadence, good conformity to the road. All appears to be reliable and make sense, traveling at an average of 20 miles an hour.
And that road coming down at the bottom of the screen where John O'Keefe's phone travels, that's Fairview Road?
This is Fairview Road here, yes. The next few slides replay that same data, but instead of showing multiple points on one graph or on one map, it's going to show one location point per slide. So at 24 minutes and 20 seconds, we see the device is already on Fairview Road, accuracy of 5 meters, traveling at 14.8 meters. And heading south. 24 minutes and 21 seconds is now at 16.2 meters, but it's still highly accurate information. 24 minutes and 22 seconds, traveling at 18.3 miles an hour. 24 minutes and 23 seconds, traveling at 16.9. 24 minutes and 24 seconds after midnight, traveling at 16.9. 24 minutes and 25 seconds, traveling at 16.6. 24 minutes and 26 seconds, traveling at 17. 24 minutes, 27 seconds, traveling at 15.9 miles an hour. 24 minutes and 28 seconds, traveling at 14.5 miles an hour, at which point it's approximately outside number 34, around the driveway area. 24 minutes and 29 seconds, traveling at 12.1 miles an hour. 24 minutes and 30 seconds, traveling at 11.5. 24 minutes and 31 seconds, traveling at 10.4. 24 minutes and 32 seconds, traveling at 8.9. 24 minutes and 33 seconds, traveling at 7. 24 minutes and 34 seconds, traveling at 5.2. And 24 minutes and 35 seconds, traveling at 3.5. 24 minutes and 36 seconds, traveling at 3.2 miles an hour. And at 24 minutes and 37 seconds, traveling at 1.4 miles an hour. Finally, the device comes to a complete stop at 24 minutes and 38 seconds. I'll say from the testing that I've done related to the speed, it may not be 100% accurate, but it's a very good indicator of the speed in general. So if it says it was traveling at 10 miles an hour, it would have been traveling at somewhere between 9.5 and 10.5 on average.
Mr. Whiffen, you just showed us the travel of Mr. O'Keefe's cell phone around 12:24 to 12:24:38 on January 29, 2022. And you said at 12:24:38 it came to a complete stop.
Yes.
Before that complete stop, was the car continuously moving at some speed?
Yes, this is the first record that shows 0 miles per hour or 0 meters per second. Prior to this, there was always a record that showed some level of speed.
If you look at number 34 on that chalk, if you can highlight it, please. If the driveway were at the right side, the top side of the house,
yes.
Does your studies indicate that the vehicle, or at least the phone, traveled past the driveway before it stopped?
Objection, Your Honor.
Ask it non-leading, please.
Okay. Did this car, or the phone that was in the car, ever stop at the driveway of that address?
No, according to the location and the speed data from the device. By the time it was approximately the driveway, the phone reports it was still traveling at around 15.9 miles an hour.
Have you ever seen a photograph of that address?
I have.
You have or have not?
I have.
You have. And in that address, do you see on the far left corner of that address, the yard, there's a flagpole?
Yes.
Where this car stops, or this phone stops at 12:24:33, how close is the phone to that flagpole?
I believe very close.
And you never, do you ever see the car or the phone stop anywhere near that driveway?
No.
Please continue.
Between 24 minutes and 39 seconds and 25 minutes and 8 seconds, there were a cluster of more records, all showing 5 meter accuracy, but no movement. Although the center point does move around a little bit, you could interpret this as movement, but because all of the radiuses or radii overlap, there's also a good chance that there's no movement that actually occurred here. This is just the device as it's trying to refine its location. At 25 minutes and 30 seconds, we see a relatively significant change where the accuracy drops to 34 meters. We do see a course or a bearing that shows that the device reported it was heading west. But again, this accuracy radius includes the previous locations anyway. So it's difficult to differentiate between actual movement based on this location data or just on the fact that the accuracy reduced, the center point shifted because of the accuracy change, and therefore a bearing was attributed to it when it shouldn't have been.
If I could ask you some questions about the chalk on that indicates 25 minutes, 30 seconds, so 12:25:30. The circles become larger.
Correct.
Is Waze still being used or has Waze been stopped?
No, Waze has been closed at this point for about 40 or 50 seconds.
For how long, sir?
About 40 or 50 seconds.
This location data or this circle, the perimeter, that's not coming from the Waze application anymore?
No, the location data never came from the Waze application. Waze was requesting location data. iOS is responding to that request, and as part of that response would write the information to its database. Waze itself records very little location data.
So when you look at that circle based on location data alone, could the phone be anywhere within that circle?
Correct.
There is a bullet pinpoint center of that circle?
Yes.
That center of the circle doesn't necessarily mean that the phone is at that exact location, does it?
It doesn't, no. The center point is purely an indication of where you need to draw the center in order to draw the radius. If we didn't have a center point, how would you know where to draw this circle?
And so the phone could be anywhere in that circle, close to 34, inside 34, 32?
Objection, Your Honor.
Ask it non-leading, please.
Could the phone be anywhere in that circle?
It could.
Could it be at the center point?
It could.
Could it be still in the car?
It could.
Continue, please.
Between 25 minutes and 31 seconds and 25 minutes and 36 seconds, there's an additional cluster of location data, ranging between 61 meter accuracy and 17 meter accuracy. All of them roughly centered on the same point, approximately. And all of the accuracy radius covers the same area. Like, there's so much overlap in these records that the device is essentially anywhere within the smaller circle. Between 27 minutes and 35 seconds and 38 minutes and 15 seconds, there was approximately 50 low accuracy records. Again, the device wasn't being used to ask for location data. This is completely passive and resulting in some pretty poor location data. I've highlighted with the red arrow where the 34 Fairview Road is. And we can see, although a lot of these location data do overlap with that point, there are location information here that doesn't. At 38 minutes and 16 seconds, the accuracy improves again. Is now 18 meters accurate, but continues to show approximately the same location that we saw 10 or 15 minutes earlier, around the kind of around the flagpole area. 38 minutes and 17 seconds, same general area, slightly higher accuracy information down to 14 meters. 38 minutes and 18 seconds, accuracy increased to 12 meters, shifted slightly. Now the flagpole area is essentially at the lower side of this circle. Obviously the top side of the circle now includes a part of 34 Fairview.
If the location information is indicated by the circle and the circle has shifted, does that mean necessarily the phone has moved?
Not necessarily. Typically, you could assume it has, but when we're already talking about accuracies of 12, 13, 14 meters, it starts to become a little bit harder to determine how accurate this data is. So at this point in time, it could be anywhere within this circle. And the movement of the center point could just be the result of refinement of the device or environmental conditions that suddenly change. If the weather changes, it could cause the device to slightly miscalculate or to calculate differently.
Would a snowstorm or a blizzard potentially impact the precision of location information that's not precise like Waze?
It definitely has the potential to, yes.
How about a phone being covered? Could that affect it?
That could also affect it, yes.
If somebody was lying on a phone, could that affect it?
That could affect it.
Could being in a building affect it?
It could.
Thank you.
We've done that one at 38 minutes and 20 seconds. Again, refining information more. We've got an 8 meter accurate radius, still focusing primarily on the front yard. Towards the left side, and then accuracy of 7 meters at 38 minutes and 21 seconds, again showing that same general area. Between 40 minutes and 22 seconds and 59 minutes and 29 seconds, accuracy fairly drops off again, and we see some fairly wild records that don't cover the area at all, but we also see some more accurate records showing again, where the red arrow points at Fairview Road. Those records are highlighted here, just between 40 minutes and 22 seconds and 59 minutes, 29 seconds, only showing records of 25 meter accuracy or better. And again, it's kind of focusing on that flagpole area. Between 1 a.m. and 2 a.m., only looking at location information, which is 25 meters accurate or better. Again, it kind of focuses around the front yard area, although some of these accuracies are still rather large and could put the device inside 34 on the opposite side of the street, towards 32. Between 2 a.m. and 3 a.m., fairly similar story. Again, most of these points are centered around that same location at the front yard. Similarly, between 3 and 4 a.m., between 4 and 5, between 5 and 6. And in fact, if I take all of the location data between 25 minutes after midnight until 6 a.m., only looking at the records that report 10 meter accuracy or better, then typically they all focus around that same location at the front of the yard, nearish to where the flagpole can be found.
I'd like to ask you some questions about this photograph. There's a red circle with a bunch of red dots in the middle?
Yes.
Would those red dots indicate the center of some location that was captured at a particular point over that night?
Yes. So each of those center dots is the center of a 10-meter accurate or better location record. I chose to not show the accuracy radius circle on this image just purely because it makes it hard to see when you've got all these intersecting lines. But ultimately, if you were to draw a 10 meter radius around all of these points, they would all fall within the large red circle that's shown.
So this photograph was meant to take readings from the most accurate of the data throughout the night?
Correct.
Objection, Your Honor.
Sustained. Ask it again differently, please.
Was this circle, did it include low frequency data?
No, this circle only includes 10 meter accuracy or better.
The fact that the center dots are in different spots, is that inconsistent with a phone being in the same place, not moving that entire night?
It could indicate movement, it could indicate refinement.
Is it impossible to tell?
It's impossible to tell at this level of detail anyway.
Are all of these dots, given the range, 10 meters or under, are all these dots and all these readings of the high frequency data that you compiled for that night, are they all consistent with Mr. O'Keefe's phone being near the flagpole and not moving that night?
Objection, Your Honor.
I'm going on.
I think that's a reasonable assumption.
All right, this might be a good spot. Are you ready to move on to the next area, or you have any more questions about
this?
Now
would be a fine time, Your Honor.
All right. Folks, why don't we take our morning break, 15, 20 minutes. We'll see you back here for 15.
Thank you.
Sir, please leave your notebooks for the whole seafood. Please rise for the jury. Court is in session. Please be seated.
All right, Mr. Brennan, whenever you're ready.
Mr. Whiffen, before we go into the next subject area, I'd like to ask you about the location data. Based on your review of the location data, do you have an opinion whether the location data throughout the evening is consistent with John O'Keefe's cell phone being near the flagpole the entire night?
I believe it is, yes.
I asked you whether you had an opinion whether it was consistent with. I didn't ask you if you had an opinion to a reasonable degree of scientific certainty. Are there other things that you looked at that you will consider in addition to the location data to have a more certain opinion?
There is.
And is the next thing that you considered Apple Healthcare data?
It's the Apple Health data, yes.
We asked about it, or I asked you about it earlier on, but I just want to talk about it a little bit before you show us and present to us the data that you've compiled for us. Is Apple Health data different than when you have like an Apple Watch?
No, it's the same Apple Health data recording on the phone or the watch. The only difference is the sensors being used to do that monitoring. So if you're just using the phone, obviously, you're only using the sensors in the phone. It's limited to steps walked and to altitude climbed. If you're wearing a watch, it can also do those things, but it can also add things like blood pressure monitoring and things like that.
Does Apple Health data require an internet connection?
It doesn't, no.
So it's all self-survives on the phone itself?
It is.
So without having an internet connection, it will still store the data?
Correct.
If I have an iPhone, is it storing health data even if I didn't ask for it to do so?
Yes. Unless you actively turn the feature off, it will by default try to track movement.
Is it something that is hidden that I wouldn't see unless I'd look for it?
No, there's an application for Apple Health, and then the settings are quite obvious in the settings screen.
Apple Health data tracks movement of the phone?
Correct.
When you were considering the Apple Health data in this case, did you begin looking for the Apple Health data before Mr. O'Keefe's phone began approaching Fairview Road?
Yeah, I started again at around midnight and looked at the health data up until 6:30 a.m. on the 29th.
The different points when you tracked Apple Health data, Is that helpful, even if you're only trying to isolate a certain point in time?
It can be, yes.
Does it help determine whether or not it was working properly, if it was?
It can determine whether it's working properly. It can determine an average kind of walking speed, for example, of a person, the average gait that the person may walk with, if that was important.
If a person has an iPhone and they're moving and it registers Apple Health data, and then they stop moving and the healthcare data doesn't register because there's no movement, would the Apple Health data resume movement even if somebody else picks up the phone?
It would. The phone itself doesn't care who's carrying it. It just looks for movement.
So it doesn't identify the owner in order to register movement?
Correct.
Objection, Your Honor.
Does it identify the owner in order to register
movement? Better question.
It doesn't, no.
Could you turn to the next part of the data analysis that you did?
Yes.
Please.
So the two sources that I got the Apple Health data from were a database called HealthDB_secure.sqlite. This, as I said earlier, is the typical database that's used to store long-term information about the health activity that's been recorded. So this database can have years' worth of steps taken, flights climbed, and any other kind of health data that's been recorded. The downside to that is that the information's aggregated, so you see chunks of time, and multiple activities can happen within those chunks of time. The cache-encrypted C .SQLite database is much more temporary, but is much more granular, so we can see exact times that flights were climbed, for example, or at least you can see the exact time that the flight climb was recorded to the device. And then that information is aggregated into the larger chunk of time. So again, we might see within the cache-encrypted C individual flight climb events that occurred, for example, 30 seconds apart. But by the time that information is written to the HealthDB Secure, you're now looking at a 10-minute time period with three flight climb events, as opposed to three individual flight climb events with individual timestamps. Typically, that source is not used because the data is not stored there for very long. The information that I found on John's phone was essentially these five records. So between 11 minutes and 9 seconds and 21 minutes and 5 seconds, there were 170 steps recorded by the device.
Mr. Whiffen, I'm going to stop at each one and ask you some questions. At the time period between 12:11:09 12:21:05, you don't have any independent information where John O'Keefe or his cell phone were, do you?
The location data that I showed to begin with on Washington Street was around 12 minutes after midnight. So the presumption is that's where the location was at that time. And then 21 minutes and 5 seconds, the device had already started using Waze. It was already driving along Denham Street or had turned onto Maplecroft.
What time did you say that Waze was initiated?
It was approximately 19 minutes and 30 seconds-ish.
Thank you.
Again, we see at 21 minutes and 10 seconds until 24 minutes and 22 seconds, there are 80 steps recorded. And again, if you compare this to the location data, we know that the device was in a vehicle at this time. Between 22 minutes and 14 seconds and 24 minutes and 37 seconds, we have three flight climb events that are aggregated into that time period. And again, the location data shows that the device was traveling in a vehicle at that time.
Mr. Whiffen, you had showed us a slide of 24:37 on January 29, 2022 in your PowerPoint presentation, noting at that time, 12:24:37, the phone in the car was still traveling at 1.4 miles per hour.
Correct. This is about a second before it came to a stop.
Can you conclude to a reasonable degree of scientific certainty that that period of 12:22:14 to 12:24:37, Mr. O'Keefe, or at least Mr. O'Keefe's cell phone, was still in that car?
Yes, the location data shows it was in the car at the time. And my next few slides will demonstrate why that was still recording a flight climb event while it was in a vehicle.
Thank you.
At 31 minutes and 56 seconds until 32 minutes and 16 seconds, there were 36 steps recorded. And then there was no further health activity recorded on the device for several hours until 4 minutes after 6 a.m. When 432 steps were recorded between the time of 6:04 and 6:11.
Let me ask you about that 12:31:56 to 12:32:16 time period. We can see larger ranges in the time period range. That is a smaller range comparatively.
Yes.
Okay. At 12:31:56, is that the beginning of the 36 steps?
Essentially, yeah. It takes the timestamps from the cache encrypted C. Looks at when the first step occurred, looks at when the last step occurred, and aggregates the times based on that.
So 12:32:16 would be the last steps taken for that cell phone?
Correct.
And in between that time period, there's 36 steps. You shared earlier that it doesn't indicate the direction of the steps.
Correct.
Other than the movement that equates the steps, can it tell anything about what direction, the positioning, how the phone was moving?
It can't, no. It's just purely registered what it thinks are 36 steps.
Could it have been a straight line?
It could have been a straight
line.
Could
it have been somebody pacing?
It could have been.
Could it have been somebody moving and jumping?
Yes. Jumping, if they were jumping forward, essentially.
After 12:32:16, when this phone took its last steps, it never moved again?
Objection, Your Honor.
Form of the question sustained.
After 12:32:16, when this phone took its last steps, did it move again until 6:04:01 a.m.?
There were no more steps or flight climb or any other health activity recorded during that time.
There's more live courtroom coverage coming up. Press subscribe now so you don't miss a second from the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com. Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
With new McValue at McDonald's, you get more than you expect for breakfast. Like buy a sausage burrito and add a sausage McMuffin for a dollar. Get more than you expect with new McValue at McDonald's.
Prices and participation may vary. Valid for item of equal or lesser value.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
In the news this week, the Have I Got News For You podcast is back for another series.
Brought to you by some of the team behind the show, we'll take you through the big stories of the week when the TV show can't.
From Kemi Badenoch to Keir Starmer, Donald Trump to Nigel Farage, we'll make sure to give every story and subject the complete lack of respect it deserves.
We also cover all the sillier stories you've missed that don't make the front page and put your news knowledge to the test with our missing words round.
Listen and subscribe to In the News This Week, the Have I Got News For You podcast, wherever you get your podcasts.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com. Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com. Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com. Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.